Good morning. It's Friday. The saga in East Lansing continues with Coach Mel Tucker and the university as the Title IX hearing began yesterday and continues today. We have to talk about it. Let's bring in an expert, Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Todd, the saga continues.
It does, Jamie. It does. This drumbeat's going to go on for a little bit.
But the newest thing is they have these 20,000 documents and they're releasing text messages. What do you make of all of it? Do you believe Tucker's side that this proves something?
Well, as I would say to some of my clients, are these your words? Or, you know, if I had it on videotape, don't believe your lying eyes, right? Evidence is evidence. So where you gain it from, if it's an admission by a party opponent, the party opponent being Tracy, then, you know, you got to weigh that evidence and see if this was a consensual act, if this was, you know, a situation where he was set up or not set up. So if I read some of these text messages correctly, she was having an affair with another male coach at the same time she was involved with Tucker. So, I mean, and both of them were at Michigan State University. So that there's obviously, clearly, some issues there of her claim of being a truth teller, or the other side of the coin is don't take it out of context. Oftentimes you send a text message to a friend, Jamie, and the friend gets it all wrong because the friend doesn't have the tone of the text message, just has the black and white words. So you gotta make sure you have it all the facts, and I think there could be.
Good morning, Counselor. You know, these text messages seem to try to catch Tracy in some conflicting statements. You know, they use dozens of the messages between her and her assistant, who is now deceased. And I don't know how the Title IX procedure works. I mean, are these text messages admissible since her assistant can't be cross-examined? Do they cross-examine people in these hearings?
They do. I've been involved in them. Lloyd, good morning. So the Title IX is a probable cause kind of hearing. It's not like you're going to see in a courtroom. There is a judge, there is a advocate or a lawyer for Michigan State University, and then there is the lawyer for the respondent, that being Mel Tucker, Coach Tucker. So they get to call witnesses and questions can be asked through the lawyers. Usually it's very tempered down. And the rules of evidence usually go to weight, not admissibility.
Okay.
So in other words, the judge, who is a member oftentimes of the university, that judge goes and gives whatever weight he believes that evidence is. As opposed to, in the strictest sense, if you were in court and you said objection, you know, it's inadmissible because it's hearsay. Well, that really doesn't apply necessarily here. So you get to use common sense and weight and what, you know, the judge wants to give it, whether it be truthful or not.
Todd, they said they received 20,000 new communications or documents and they have all this new evidence. And, you know, Tucker's side has been saying this was a sham investigation from the start. How were they able to get this information and Michigan State not?
That's a $64 million question. So, obviously, if you read the letter from the attorney from Foley Lardner that's representing Mel Tucker, he puts in really kind of succinct terms and he outlines what this dialogue is between Miss Alvarado and Miss Tracy, and goes point by point. So here in this particular situation, the question you're asking, how did they get these text messages? It would either be through a subpoena, where they have subpoena power, but that would be difficult to see because the Title IX doesn't have subpoena power, or they had a cooperating witness and got the evidence from one of the cooperating witnesses, or there is a civil lawsuit someplace for which this is going forth, and they ended up getting the information from by a court order through a subpoena. So I think, you know, this was a good investigation on behalf of Foley Lardner and their team to come through with getting all the picture, making sure that they could show the full and complete picture of what took place. I mean, we could say good, bad, and different. Tucker, you know, love him, hate him, whatever the case may be, he made insanely foolish decisions. I don't know how you could possibly have common sense and think doing this, getting into this was a smart thing. That's one thing, right?
Yeah.
And did he besmirch the university, and was there a violation under the strictest sense of his contract? And if you read his contract, yep, he besmirched the university, and they have proper cause to fire him. However, on a Title IX, was this a consensual or a relationship? It seems to be that Tucker has some very powerful evidence to show that, and or that this is some sort of weird setup. And that's, I think, what Tucker's trying to show.
Could the coach come out in favor in this in these hearings? Because they say these text messages now, like, they undermine Tracy's they undermine the MSU's decision to fire him, that those text messages from Tracy undermines the school's decision to fire him. Could he come out on top, and could MSU be kind of in a hot seat for firing him, even though he did breach his contract? I guess they fired him for cause because he breached his contract. But could this help him later on, depending on how it ends in a lawsuit against the university?
It could. It could color a picture wherein that this was an improper, you know, setup by Tracy. It possibly, if he could win the Title IX. But I think, Lloyd, there's two distinct things here. One is the contract, and was there a breach of that contract, or was there a firing within the contract because he besmirched the university in a way that they had the right, they had the cause to fire him. And I think they do. You know, just based on the four corners of the contract and the interpretation of the contract, I believe they did have cause.
Yeah, Todd, I think it's cut and dry. He had an inappropriate relationship with a vendor of the university on school time, basically.
Yeah, so I mean, not only that, but just the public sector is enough, right? He brings the school into a bad light. Inappropriate conduct is right there in front of it. However, all that being said, right, Title IX, something different. Did he violate a Title IX policy? Was there a discriminatory act in this situation where he violated the Title IX's policies in the strictest sense? And what he can win on that case, beat up the credibility of the petitioner, i.e. the petitioner being Ms. Tracy, and Ms. Tracy's, you know, having, if it can be shown that this is really just a setup on her side,
right.
He can show it up. But it's still, Jamie, to your point, the university still has, I think, without question, the power to fire him based on this conduct.
Okay.
So regardless if it was consensual or non-consensual or a setup.
Okay. And the independent attorney has 20 days after the hearing to issue a report concluding whether the evidence raised during the seven-month investigation is sufficient to establish that he violated school policy. Todd Flood, thank you as always.
My pleasure, you two. Enjoy your weekend.
You as well.
Thank you. Coming up on JR Morning, we're going to talk to Beth LeBlanc, reporter for the Detroit News. The State House pulled Mayor Mike Duggan's land value tax plan, and we're going to talk about it.